By mid-September, the Department of Housing and Urban Development will have a better idea of how it wants to reorganize and restructure its missions. Over the last few months, HUD has been preparing for the changes by focusing on how management will track, communicate, and execute that plan. David Eagles is the Chief Operating Officer of HUD. In part one of his exclusive interview with executive editor Jason Miller, Eagles says there are lots of good ideas that just need some room to grow.
We have been committed to a highly engaged process. What I'm really proud of at HUD is that this has really been an employee-up plan. And so we've gotten a lot of feedback from all levels of HUD, and that includes the field and headquarters, the front line and senior leadership, hundreds of recommendations, and we really distilled those into some good ideas. And what I'm excited about is people understand that we've got to be very focused on, and this is, again, a government-wide issue, on empowering people to be successful. For years and for decades and for decades, we've just had rules and regulations and new ideas just piled on top of federal agencies. And with every year, it gets more hamstrung to be able to do what you need to do to be effective. And again, these are things that are not typically thought of early in administrations. These are things towards the very end. In my mind, administrations, they run out of policy ideas, and they're like, you know what, let's focus on just making sure people do things well. But when actuality, that's the wrong way to think about it. These are the things that you've got to tackle first. If you've got an agenda, if you want to get things done, it's all about empowering these people to be successful, and that's what the reform plan is about.
So let's talk about that empowerment. When OMB came out with the initial executive order and memo to encourage agencies to move in a specific direction to, hey, relook at what you do. Can you do it better? Can you do it faster, better, cheaper? What are some of the things you guys have done to empower the people? Because I think one of the things we are hearing time again is this is being done to the employees instead of asking the employees to take part in it. And I'll give you a perfect example. I just did a story about the agriculture department doing some reassignments of their senior executive service. And I don't think anyone would argue that the SES can't be moved.
Right.
I think what the issue becomes is, are they being moved into the best positions for their skill sets and talents?
That's right.
And I think a lot of people step back and see what happened. And the example I'll give you, David, is one person, this happened across the agency. This is what I've heard, is that they were just given envelopes. And in that envelopes was their reassignment. There's no discussions, no meetings. One guy even called his boss and said, hey, what's happening? He goes, I have no clue. And I think that is the fear that people have when they start hearing stories like this. So let's start with, it's a long question, I realize
sure.
that. Let's start with how you guys are reaching out to the people, and then we can kind of dig deeper.
You got to take a step back here. And I think job one is to just have a highly engaged process to understand what direction you want to go. And I think that's a conversation that you want to engage in all senior management. Again, I think the worst thing we can do, particularly as new folks coming into an administration, is to block out a lot of the career workforce. You have to engage them. You want to apply your new ideas, your new energy against a set of experiences that the career workforce has. And you've got to build highly effective teams at both the senior political and career layers. Like, we almost are agnostic to who is political and who is career, at least here at HUD. I can't comment on other agencies that are out there. But to me, that's one of the most important things you can do. And I think you said it right. Once you have determined the direction you want to go, based on whether it's campaign promises, based on just your assessment very early in your tenure, then that's when you build that plan and you say, do you have the right people to be successful? And that can be, as you said, you got to make sure your skill sets align very highly to it. You want to have conversations with senior leaders to understand if they're engaged and they're fired up to be part of something like this. Because, again, if we want government to be innovative, and I always go back and I say, why can't government perform, you know, much better, much more effectively? And I think it starts with a couple things. One is not engaging that workforce fully from the front line to senior leadership, and you mentioned the senior side. Secondly, we don't stick to these plans over time either. So we are a little bit like the cat that follows the red light around. Something could happen here at HUD, and in 1 week, 2 weeks, 6 months, we don't know, and we get distracted, we get our eyes off the ball here, and we lose our focus on our plan driven from the top. I think the third reason, too, why a lot of these efforts fail and why government has not been as effective as it could be, it's just senior leadership sometimes doesn't care. Again, I think it's a problem in government when new tenured senior leadership comes in and it's all about jamming policy priorities in, when I think what we fail to learn is that it's both policy and good management, and you have to execute this well. And so we've spent, again, a lot of time thinking through that. We've had a lot of conversations with senior leadership. We have done some reassignments as well to ensure that our skill sets line up to the priorities going forward. And I think at the end of the day, what I'm excited about is you can see an organization that's more aligned, that could even be smaller, more focused, and actually improve morale. And I think we've gotten some good news there as well.
And I know HUD has been struggling to improve their morale. The best places to work, that's something that in your old position at the Partnership for Public Service, you guys really spearheaded that effort. Mm-hmm. And you've seen HUD kind of slowly inch up, but it's been a long haul. And something like this, where you have reorganization, and if the employees don't feel like they're part of the discussion, if they're part of the decisions, that could really take a big dip in morale. So again, talk a little bit about how you're including people in this discussion.
HUD right now is about 23 out of 27 on the best places to work score. You know, I think that's, in a lot of ways, that's the pulse of the organization to be able to execute these large-scale transformations that we're looking to do. So there's a lot we can do to really improve ourselves there. And again, it does start engaging with the employees. So I think there's a couple ways that we've been engaging employees around, again, a plan that's really pre-decisional. So we're taking in a lot of input. We're really spending a lot of time thinking through this, and we want to, again, pivot back to the organization very aggressively in September with a very clear plan. So what I'm excited about, and this is what I really enjoy, is in that September timeframe, once we get a green light from OMB and from others, there will be a lot of energy in the building. Secretary Carson is very engaged in this process. He really likes to engage with employees, both internally and our partners and customers that ultimately receive our services that we have. So there'll be a set of town halls that we'll kick off. The process will be very transparent. I think what can make this unique, and I hope other federal agencies adopt this, is a very clear scorecard of both management and policy priorities that everyone can understand where you're heading, and everyone can share in your successes and failures. We may miss milestones like we all do, but we're going to fess up to it, and it's going to be transparent. And it shouldn't matter if you're an employee at HUD or you're the IG at HUD. Everyone can understand this process that we're going through. There'll be a lot of change management initiatives to get people aligned. There'll be some changes to performance plans to more highly align to these things. You know, I think in some ways we've made our performance planning process a little bit more complicated than it should. In a lot of ways, you either did it or you didn't do it. And then I think that's some things that we're going to be focusing on as well. So I think at the end of the day, a crystal clear plan driven from the top, you stuck with it for 12 to 18 months, and then you reinvent yourself again, highly transparent down to the front line, heavily engaged from both field and headquarters and our regional offices, and you're just getting out there. And again, these are focused areas on working well. And again, that's very unusual, and that's what's exciting. I mean, this is really thinking about and reimagining the way that HUD works, because we have to think about delivering our services a lot more differently, not just in this modern day, but with current budget constraints and just the direction that we've been going. We've got to rethink ourselves and reinvent ourselves. And that's the plan we're going to do over the next couple of years.
I'm speaking with David Eagles, the Department of Housing and Urban Development's Chief Operating Officer. A lot of this is, the proof is on the pudding, right?
Right.
How well will you guys do when you really need to do it? So far, as you've reached out to the field, the headquarters staff, as you reached out to the regions, how have you done that? When you started to develop that plan for OMB that, as you mentioned, is pre-decisional, how did you develop that plan that would give people some confidence going forward?
It started, first of all, from a few notes from the secretary. Again, he's been very committed to this process. I think in some ways he wants his legacy to be that we've made this place a great place to work. We've made people proud to be at a place like HUD. And so the engagement started early to all employees. You know, we've had some simple things like email addresses and essentially some online forum-type tools that employees have logged into to share their feedback just very early. Like, how can we make your job better? No idea is too big. No idea is too small. It could be a congressional issue. It could be a sheet of paper that's on your desk that you don't need. I mean, it could be as simple as that. And again, we've received hundreds of ideas from that process. Then I think secondly, because again, I guess I look back at any of these, there's really three levels you've got to be focused on. It's clearly the front line. In a lot of ways, it's the most important. In a lot of ways, it's what the administration cares the most about. So that's the engagement has been that way, through those forums, through the email addresses, through conversations that our field folks have been having with their employees. The second level you've got to be focused on really is that middle management layer. Really at HUD, it's probably the couple of hundred folks that in a lot of ways drive morale in the organization. Like, this is probably 80% of the morale. In a lot of ways, they get a lot of things done, and they're very important for us as well. So that's the next cadre that we've engaged through this process. And we've done it, even though we don't have specifics, we've done it with some big, broad buckets. And those are things, again, like reimagining the way HUD works, or we know we want to restore the American dream, or we want to rethink and revive American communities and use all the tools that HUD has. How can we do that, guys? And we would have very engaging forums to discuss those sort of framing areas to be able to get to essentially what's almost a strategic plan from the top. And again, what I like about this executive order on reform, you know, we've got an executive order on regulation. We've got a budget, we've got a strategic plan, and everything is kind of hitting right now. But what's exciting about it is you can unify it into one plan going forward. And again, it includes both policy and management.
David, I want to switch gears on a second, because one of the things you talked about previously was people. And you said you've had some reassignments, the people piece. Talk a little bit about the reassignments. Do you expect more SES reassignments to come? How have you handled the ones you've done so far? Give me a little bit more about how you're going to deal with those issues.
We've done some reassignments. I would call this normal course of business for any time you're doing large-scale transformations. You want to empower people in the organization. You want to bring energy to that organization and give them opportunities, sort of stretch them out a little bit to reach ahead. And so those shufflings can be good, as long as they're done in a way that's engaging, to let them know you're a part of something special, that you're going to be, in some cases, directly reporting to the secretary on a monthly basis with a very tight governance process that we've got. And again, that's, you have to do it with respect. You know, I think that's really important for us. We spent a lot of time, again, thinking through that as well. That's just the right way to treat people. And I'll say, in my experience here at HUD, these are not political issues. These are apolitical. The federal employees, I think, are just looking for direction. And again, what I like about this effort and what I like about the plan is this is not a reduction in force exercise. This is not even, in our case, necessarily driven by cost cutting. This is just about empowering people to be effective. And what we found is, through years and years and decades of rules, regulations, of compliance areas, and again, when you look across organizations, I'm sure it's this way across government, we're spending less and less time actually serving, in our case, the most vulnerable, and we're spending more time on literally moving papers around desks and things like that. That's the type of stuff that we can strip away. And guess what? We can actually save taxpayer dollars, make our employees happier, and make them feel like, again, like they're being listened to. The intent is to empower and to align and to really, in my ways, take off some of the handcuffs that we've got across government to be able to get our jobs done. Now, it's going to take air cover from OMB and the administration. It's going to take some Hill, Capitol Hill cooperation. And even if we don't get those things, there's enough we can do, enough housekeeping, in my mind, we can do here at HUD to make this place better.
So let me go back to the reassignment issue, though, because I think, again, people hear, and it's, I think, good that you were able to come out and say this is not a reduction in force exercise. As you've reassigned, talk about that reassignment process a little bit. Give me a sense of how it worked, because, again, that's the fear, and that's what will kill any, or severely hamper, I should say, any reorg process.
The decline certainly can be harmful. At HUD, we have the most retirement-eligible workforce. We have an older workforce that's been here for a longer period of time than most federal agencies, and so that presents some both big risks to organization, but I also could look at it as some new opportunities for new people to step ahead as well. I sort of look at that as both ways. And so that really gets then to the reassignment issue that at the SES level. And the process that we used, again, is set direction first. Understand what it is we're actually trying to accomplish. We don't want to move people just to move people. That doesn't make any sense. Like, we have to determine what our direction is and then align people around that. Now, in some cases, we're constrained. We only have a certain number of SES slots. They have a certain number of positions that are vacant. So you do have some constraints to the process. But then you go down and you interview people. You talk to a lot of people about what strengths and weaknesses are. You have a conversation about developmentally what it is they want to achieve. And then you have to make some decisions. And they're, again, these are not easy decisions. You know, some are very good and some are more difficult. That's the nature of large-scale transformation. But at the end of the day, what I like is we've got to re-energize our employee base around a new unified vision that's going to help improve the way they work. And you can be a part of it. And if you don't want to be a part of it, it's okay. But we want to make sure you're successful somewhere else.
And generally, how many people, give me a sense, is it, you know, 20% of your SES, 10% of your SES have been reassigned? Do you have a sense of how many, or how many potentially will be reassigned?
We've completed, in my mind now, we've completed all of our major reassignments that are out there. And so we've, in terms of size, you know, we're looking sort of in our, doing the math here in my head, but it's in the 10 to 15% range. It's not that large. And again, from my private sector experience, where these have been cost-cutting exercises or these have been reduction in force exercises, the scale of change is much more significant. But what I like about this, again, this is not what this is about. This is really about empowering employees around making their job better. So that's the scale that we were looking at. Again, it's based on a whole lot of interviews, a very thoughtful process, and a set of conversations that we've been having for a while. But the good news is we're, in a lot of ways, we're past that. You know, we've, again, continued to engage the full organization around the plan ahead. And we look forward to the next month to really scope this out, have those final conversations with OMB, and let's get out there and let's get some stuff done and let's make people feel excited and proud about where they're working.
I'm speaking with David Eagles, the Department of Housing and Urban Development's Chief Operating Officer. I can appreciate the fact that, yes, the reassignments are the ones that people want to focus on, people like me want to focus on, but at the same time, you have an end goal, and I definitely want to get to the end goal. Let me ask one more kind of employee-related question, because I think people see it. So when you made the reassignments for the SES, did most feel good about it? Did you get a sense that most said, okay, I'm going to take this on because this is a new challenge, this is a good challenge for me? Or did you see some people who decided to leave, but did you see any kind of exodus or large-scale leaving of SES after they've been reassigned?
No, and I'd even back up. I'd take this a little bit higher, too. Change in any organizations are always difficult. They're always kind of scary. I'm pretty excited through the effort that we've done. Any large-scale change is difficult, including presidential transition. You know, when you look at big, large-scale acquisitions, it's really interesting. You have a little bit of a halo effect up front when there's like an organizational announcement, but typically morale in an organization dives. And it really, the trough of angst, if you will, is about 6 months after the acquisition, which I think I wouldn't analyze this too much with the presidential transition, but there's some parallels here. So in a lot of ways, the job of a new leader who's looking to do large-scale transformation is how can you accelerate that trough? And you do it by engaging employees, letting them know that, again, we're all unified on this vision. And so that's what we've been looking to do. And I'm hopeful we come out of this trough. So with any large-scale change, there is some angst. In most cases, absolutely, this actually gets people excited because you're either empowering them in a new role, they're really excited about it. In the case where they're being reassigned, they generally will understand where they're coming from, may not be best aligned, and it's going to be a mixed bag. But at the same time, I'd say it's good in the long run, change is good in the long run, and we can all be unified going forward.
And let's take it down to the next level, because you mentioned this is not a reduction in force initiative. Will there be buyouts? Will there be early outs? Are you guys planning anything around trying to change the makeup of the workforce?
Anytime you're rethinking and reimagining a way place works, just like HUD, you know, you've got to organize and align these functions very tightly with what you're trying to drive towards. And I think anytime you have big shifts like that, we've got to look at all the available tools to ensure that people are aligned to the goal. So I think it's early. Again, these are pre-decisional things, but I think we would look towards anything to say, you know, this is where we're trying to go. This is a way that's going to empower us to be able to serve our customer a lot better. And in some cases, there are either functions that would need to shift or move. And I think we want to offer options for folks in a way to say, you know, you can be a part of this, or if you're looking for something else, there may be other opportunities out there. But again, it's important for us we do it the right way. And again, this is not a reduction in force exercise. This is an exercise to say, this is the direction we're going. We'd love for you to be a part of it. If your skill sets match, it makes a lot of sense. If they don't, let's look at alternatives that are out there. And again, those types of things like buyouts, this is not new to government. It's something we'd look at, but again, it's pre-decisional at this point. We're still early, but again, I don't want to put anything off the table. I think we want to understand what we're trying to achieve. But again, I don't look at rifts. This is really more about aligning people effectively towards our vision.
Have you heard concerns from staff? Have you tried to, if so, how have you tried to alleviate those concerns?
Certainly. You hear a lot of concerns. Again, through any of these changes, I mean, again, it's going to make people nervous. The skepticism is always high in these types of things. And again, I can only speak for HUD, but that's natural human nature with any large-scale change. And we've seen this time and time again. In a lot of ways, I mean, you can look at government over the decades, right? And constantly, more and more is being applied on our federal employees to do their job. Again, it's getting harder to do the basic things that probably brought them to government. And so I understand it, and I would be skeptical myself. But again, when you look back at what makes this unique, at the heart of this, what makes this plan unique? And to me, it's early in an administration. We're being forced, and I want to say forced, but I love it, but we're being forced to focus on what makes this organization work well early. It's being driven from the top. So it's being driven from the White House executive order, from the Technology Council and the Innovation Office that exist in the White House. These are things that I think will push agencies. Normally, every agency has done these types of things completely independently. They're just roaming around in the forest, thinking about how to make themselves effective. This is really a much more top-driven approach. That's what's going to change this. And I want to give folks hope. It's not going to be consistent across all agencies, but at least the things that I can control, that we're controlling here at HUD, that it's going to be a good process over the next couple of years, and we'll be committed to it. It'll be transparent. It'll be consistent. You talk about accountability. I think that's extremely important for us in dealing with poor performers in a very consistent way across the organization. Those are the types of things that we can focus on that I think is going to drive morale as we actually streamline and improve the way we work.
David Eagles is the Chief Operating Officer of Housing and Urban Development, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. There's more to the interview. Hear it all at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.